My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. Could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And today is Friday, March 29th in the year 2024. We are just about a week away from the big eclipse event up in Ohio and then the other event, parallel event down in Texas. This is going to be a really fantastic event. I hope you all are able to come. I'm getting over to our site right now. So if you want to head over there, you can register at bardsfest.com. The Ohio event is Brookville. It's in Brookville, Ohio. And the other event is in Kimato, Texas. They're both starting on April 7th at 5 p.m. And we're going to do some revival, and we're going to do communion, and we're going to have a potluck dinner that night, which will be nice. And just to kind of do some welcome speeches. On April 8th, we'll kick off. Both events will kick off at 10 a.m. And then they'll move through the day. And obviously, we'll do some prayer and worship throughout that day. Up in Ohio, we have the lineup. Well, I guess lineup, first of all, down in Kimato, Texas. That's going to be run by Pastor Rod Parker and his team. And then they've got Stephen McWither as well. Up in Ohio, we've got myself and Michelle and Leah, Resistance Chicks. We've got Pete Santilli, Pastor Pete, Pastor Neil Peterson, the Revolutionary Revivalists, which is Little Leah and Abigail. We have Pastor Devonese, Pastor Apostle Greg Davis and Coach Dave are all going to be up there, and then some other things that are emerging. So it's going to be a full day, going to be a wonderful event, and we're really going to experience total darkness. So head on over to the Total Darkness Experience and go to bardsfest.com and take a look at the Bards Fest for Eclipse events. And I think you'll be, it's something you should do. It's good. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And who knows, maybe we'll all be together and the whole world will just split and there'll be earthquakes and volcanoes and the demons will come rolling out of the center of the earth. And then suddenly we'll have a great new time and it'll be wonderful. Who knows? Who knows what we're up against? Ian Smith, who is well known for his position against the COVID con. He's a bodybuilder, ran a gym back east. He wrote on X, which has gotten him a little bit of fire from people. It's wild that Christians read the Bible and interpret Israel as the government of a country founded by the Rothschilds dynasty. Sometimes truth is brutal, and sometimes truth is what is needed as well. So that's an important piece. We have a strange world. I would honestly say that when we talk about the times of Noah, we're here, and I'm going to give you evidentiary proof number one. I hope you can keep this. This is going to take some thinking when you listen to this interconnected web of insanity. Take a listen. Oops, hold on a second. Why are we not playing over here? We had this happen once before. All right, let me see. Well, it looks like we're not going to play it. I was going to, and I don't know. For some reason, we aren't getting. Let me check. Oh, I see why. Stand by a little bit. There we go. Let's see if this works now.
Hi, guys. It's me, Joseph, and I just wanted to take a moment to say how grateful I am for everybody who has been a part of my unintended, unexpected, but super fabulous glam fam and my family that I've chosen. I feel so special and blessed that not only are all of my dreams coming true, we're actually having children of our own. I'm so excited to meet you, and I cannot wait to see what you look like and how you behave and if you're going to take after me or after Nathan. It's going to be an exciting adventure, and going into this process, Nathan and I always said our biggest fear was that our children would be treated differently because they came about in an unusual way, that their Aunt Courtney and our best friend and salon manager is their biological mother, and that my sister and her Aunt Brianna is the carrier that helps inhabit them and allow them to grow and develop and become beautiful human beings. And I just think that it's so special that I have not only our core four group and my salon family, but all the people who have supported us and loved us and encouraged us to not give up on our dream of having.
All right, so let's do this. Nathan and Joseph Hughes, a gay couple in the Dallas area, are using their sisters to help them have surrogate babies. Their aunt is their biological mother, and their aunt is the, quote, carrier. This is an abomination. This is disgusting. The loophole is that apparently because they used intravenous or IVF, intravitreal insemination, this isn't technically incest. That's the loophole. Just thought I'd throw that one out there. This is what happens when a society has now lost its way. We end up with this and we get a celebration. Oh, this is such a good, we're so excited about our dream. We're so wonderful. Two gay men. I thought men could have babies. That's what I thought. But it's what they tell me. And now they have to use somebody else. But apparently men can't have babies. So the question again is, what is a woman? A woman is apparently a carrier is what she is. She is a carrier. And she's your sister or your aunt so you can have an ancestral child. Oh my gosh. Please help us. I'll tell you what, this gets crazier. What's wrong with America's elites is a headline this morning on Zero Hedge. It says it is becoming increasingly clear that some of America's most serious problems are traced back to our colleges and universities. Ding, 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 ding. You win the prize. I'll take where does retarded come from for 2000, Alex? And or at least the ones educating the country's most powerful people. The Vietnam War era aside, it was traditionally been uncommon for events at universities to make national headlines. Absent something extraordinary like a president giving a commencement address, a dramatic scientific breakthrough, or the award for a prominent international prize to faculty, headlines with university names in them have tended to relate more to national championship sports. Over the past few years, news items about events on college campuses have become to dominate headlines. The subjects are some of the country's most fabled institutions, and the story is often negative, if not outright shocking, because the communists took over the education system and has led our country astray. So this is literally what we end up in, a situation in a world where we have universities educating our children to be activists, not to be productive members of society. Parents that continue to channel their children to those indoctrination camps will reap the rewards, which will be indoctrinated children, brainwashed, and probably forever changed. At least, here's the interesting thing. Most people that go through college leave college radicalized, and it takes them 10 to 15 years to de-radicalize. The problem is that they then vote in that space for 10 to 15 years. They spread their virus for 10 to 15 years, and in return, what ends up happening is that they change society, and then they don't ever come back to a place of true normal. That's kind of the progressive view. Remember, they're looking at this over an arc of time, and the arc of time is an important one to appreciate, because we're talking about an arc of time where they are very patient. People are not going to, they're not rushing to be in a place where the society is going to change overnight. In fact, they're very clear that that is not what they want to do, because if they move it too fast, society will self-implode. And so there's where you end up with your problems. So we are in an interesting time. So with that, as we start to look at an interesting times and we look at the things that are happening, we have this whole P. Diddy incident, which has become the rabbit hole of rabbit holes for unlocking a lot of what's going on in our world. And so let me give you this piece, this latest piece by Greg Reese.
After the Department of Homeland Security's Investigations Task Force raided his home, rap artist Sean Combs, aka P. Diddy, has been in the news quite a bit. And the more you look into the story, the bigger it gets. According to a recent lawsuit, Combs and several members of his staff have been accused of sexual assault, human trafficking, and operating a blackmail operation with hidden cameras that captured politicians, athletes, and members of the music industry in homosexual acts and other compromising positions. In declassified MKUltra documents, we know that as early as 1954, in Operation Midnight Climax, the CIA ran several brothels with two-way mirrors set up where they would film targeted persons having sex with prostitutes. According to several close witnesses, Hugh Hefner was operating an extension of this blackmail scheme in his Playboy mansion. And of course, the infamous Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were involved in this as well, with close ties to Israeli Mossad and the British Crown's Prince Andrew. Sean Combs has been using his friendship with Prince Harry to lure powerful people into his own blackmail operation. But it gets much worse than just blackmail. Combs was allegedly drugging underage girls and trafficking them across state lines, and appears to be a pedophile. In a disturbing video, Sean Combs claims he adopted a young girl, Ava Baroni, who said that she was on the streets before he took her into his home.
Yes, it was breaking news. Diddy adopted a white child. I want you to tell them the story about how I adopted you. But you still have beautiful parents that, but you're my child also, but please tell the story.
So, I was on the streets, and then Papa Combs decided that he would like to be a caring man. So then he saw me and decided to pick me up and said to come inside and play with his kids.
Sean Combs appeared on Dan Schneider's TV show, All That, which notoriously employed several child predators who molested young actors on the set for years, all under the protected cover of Nickelodeon.
You know, in situations like this, yeah, I always ask myself, what would P. Diddy do? What would P. Diddy do? Well, I don't know. Hey, let's ask him.
Sup?
We can't wake up Shane.
Tell you what. Take this toy helicopter. Put it down his pants.
All right, we'll do it. We'll do it.
In light of this information, an old video with a 15-year-old Justin Bieber and a 40-year-old Sean Combs is rather unsettling.
You ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So and we gonna go full, buck full crazy.
A series of recent trials and investigations appear to spell out a much bigger situation brewing in the background. In April of last year, movie star Leonardo DiCaprio gave eyewitness testimony in federal court to support claims that Praz Michel funneled over $20 million of stolen money from Malaysian billionaire Joe Low into Barack Obama's 2012 presidential campaign. Leonardo DiCaprio's film, The Wolf of Wall Street, was funded with over $100 million of stolen money from Joe Low and was likely given a plea deal in return for his testimony. On July 17th of 2023, 27 years after he was murdered, Las Vegas police served a new search warrant as part of their ongoing Tupac Shakur homicide investigation. 2 months later, Las Vegas police arrest Dwayne Davis, who, according to former LAPD detective Greg Kading, gave testimony in 2008 that Sean Combs offered him $1 million to murder Tupac. This criminal trail clearly leads to Obama and the satanic pedophile cabal that has been destroying America from inside the federal government. And while many of us remain cynical of ever seeing real justice, comedian Cat Williams predicted this would all come to light last January.
Race is not where the line is drawn. It's God's side and the other side. All of these big dick deviants is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Diddy or whoever you is, T.G. Jakes, any of them, all lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way know why they take it the wrong way.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Yes, this is the year of accountability. We're going to see a lot of it, and it's going to get a lot worse. In fact, there was a tweet put out yesterday that said America is going to go through a lot of trauma, but for Anons, it will be relief. And I think that's probably the truth. We really have to stay focused, though, on this principal walk in which we're on. And I think that's the hardest thing that's going to be here before us, is keeping clear on the fact that we are have a purpose here in a sense of a remnant. And that remnant is to really to keep our focus on the truth and to continue to press the truth forward at any cost. The threats are going to increase. The lies to attempt to cover this up will increase in volume. But the truths are going to be hard for a nation to face. And the truth for a nation to face is that as a nation, we have gone along for years willfully, allowing right in our face the exploitation, the trafficking, the rape, the pedophilia, and worse, the aspects of pedivore, which are at the core of all of this. There are things that have been going on in these circles that are so horrific that most people would not be able to handle it. If you remember hearing the investigation that was into the Hillary Clinton, the files with Clinton's aide's husband and Anthony, the thing is that they were leaving those investigation rooms. So some cops were so sick after they saw those files, they needed actual trauma care, meaning mental health care. This is the level of sickness that we are dealing with here. And it was there we go, the Anthony Weiner, thanks. This is a level of sickness that we can't imagine. And it's become normalized in their culture, and all roads connect. So when we go into one direction, like right now, there's heavy, heavy attack or push on opening up the optic of understanding the connections with Jewish Zionism. And it's very real. And then we tie that into the royal family, and you tie that into Chinese cartels, and you tie that into what you're seeing is a global network of criminality that is all working together in various forms and all doing many of the same things. So it is important to appreciate that all roads will have to be exposed and people will have to see the criminality that has run this nation. But here's the problem that we get to again in accountability is that we've always had a choice. And this is a hard one. And I touched on this yesterday, and I'm going to touch on it again today because it's one of these things that we have to face. We want to blame somebody. And there are people that are accountable, don't get me wrong. But if we're going to truly make the pivot, we have to take our own level of accountability, whether it's COVID-Con. Yes, there was a criminal cabal that pushed a deadly shot upon the public. Yes, there was pressure beyond pressure to manipulate people to take the shot. But as I've said so often, all somebody had to do was to go to the websites of Moderna, to Pfizer, and to read what they were trying to do and ask a simple question. Why are you trying to rewrite my immune system? What has happened, though, with people in the Matrix is everything that comes out of the Matrix, people trust. They trust movie stars. They trust singers. They trust producers. They trust politicians. They trust CEOs. They trust what's in their food. They don't read labels. They trust what's in a vaccine. They don't ask what's in it. They trust what's in a pill. They don't question it. They trust everything. We don't think twice about even having fluoride in the water. And it's amazing when you start looking at this and we ask the questions of how did we get here? And that's the personal accountability because there are not as many of them as there are of us. And that part is a hard one. The shot became very personal because we're witnessing the deaths of people immediately around us as a consequence of a COVID injection. But I want to highlight this because if we think back, how many years have we gone along of children being lost and parents pleading for help and nothing's done? As a nation, we turned our back on our children a long time ago. And it's not our children, not necessarily your children, but as a nation collectively, we were convinced that there was somebody else's problem or, oh, they were probably welfare. Oh, they're probably having a divorce. Oh, they're probably this or probably that. As I got word yesterday that there's investigations going on right now down on the border of houses that are holding American children, getting ready to send them abroad. And we go back then to what happened in Baltimore. And the question that we didn't ask right away, but should be asked, is what's in those containers? I get that there's an accident. I don't care if it's human error. I don't care if it's a hack. I don't care if it's DEI. I don't care if it has something to do with a terrorist intentional sabotage. The question that we didn't jump to first, which we should, is what's in those containers? That should have been the first question. We should be asking that question every day, what's in those containers? Because we've become accustomed to not asking questions. Do you know that when they move nuclear waste in this country and they move classified things, they literally move it down the road in regular trucks. And you don't see it because we don't ask. We don't ask questions about what's in a container. We just assume, well, there's going to go some more shoe delivery or there goes some more stuff for Walmart. We have to become critical about and questioning about everything. And that's a difficult thing. And that leads to this question of what can you trust? Well, we know what we can trust. We trust the heart. And it's the heart of those that walk in Christ. And when we get into the heart of somebody, and the only way you can see the heart of somebody is to really understand who they are in Christ. That's what we're trying to do. But we can't continue to go on as a society and go blindly forward and not ask the hard questions of who we are and what is going on. Because we end up, if we don't do this, we end up in the place where we are right now. This took years to develop, and I need to emphasize that. It took years to develop. It didn't happen overnight. It's not going to go away overnight, but it is going to go away when we start taking action right now. And what does that action look like? It means that we have to, each one of us, take the responsibility to start taking care of our own families completely. That doesn't mean being in a place where we're dependent on a corporate job. We've got to set up the food capacities within our homes, growing our own food, and educating our children, and getting God back at the center of our family. Those three things alone change the country. When you add to that the ability to get work that is not related to a corporate enterprise, and we get into the place then of being able to do work, a business on your own, and then further, you're stepping away from the medical tyranny. These are powerful things. And as we get educated on common law, we get educated on Bible and the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and how all those tie together. That's pillar number 6 on county by county. And then you get to conserve and steward, conservation and stewardship. Those 7 pillars are a fundamental way of steering this nation back, of taking us back, because we stop looking out and we start looking in. And looking in is one of the hardest things we have to do, because it truly does expose where our vulnerabilities are, where our dependencies are, and then it allows us to lean into a bigger way to start to take account also for what's in our neighborhood and what's in our communities, and ultimately what's in our counties. That has to happen. These people have operated without any sort, without impunity in our neighborhoods around the world. And they're there. I mean, they've looked at Sean Combs' home, and there's apparently a tunnel now that they've discovered that's a what they call a water tunnel that goes somewhere. They're trafficking kids underground. They're trafficking kids in and out. This goes back to the Hugh Hefner tunnels. All these things are real. They're documented. And the connections that the Playboy Mansion had to all the houses around underground. Why would you do that? How do we get to a place where it became normalized? And we listen to a lot of discussion, and we have to ask ourselves, where do we get to a place where it became normalized, and even to a point of considered to be manly to think that pornography, whether it's soft pornography or hard pornography, is a cool thing? It used to be about 100 years ago that if you were watching pornography as a man, you were literally seen as like the bottom of the barrel. Like, dude, you can't even get a relationship with a woman. You have no future for it to be a husband. And you're such a scum, you have to turn to that sort of imagery. Now it's become normalized. And our men have a major problem of pornography addiction in this nation. Our pastors have a problem with pornography addiction. And then we have women, as the fastest growing market in pornographic addictions is with women. These things are all designed to break a society down, and it allows us to sit back. And here's where we get into this big problem now. The whole idea of judgment, that if you judge another person, be careful there's not a log back in your own eye. Well, how that's being leveraged is to put guilt back on people as if you can't speak out for truth. And so as a church, because there's guilt on the pulpit of pornography, for example, it's difficult for a pulpit to speak out against pornography. That's collectively replicated across a society, and we see it. Men hesitate to get up, in my opinion, to a large degree because they're tied to the pornographic addictions. But we're afraid then to call out. If you heard these discussions about the P. Diddy case, one of the people that's implicated here is T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes, He runs the mega church out of Dallas. Big motivational speaker, big powerful voice. I've even played one of his pieces here, but I've been pretty aware for a long time that T.D. Jakes was a dark individual, and meaning dealing with sexual issues. And I have to distinguish that because somebody will go, oh, that was racist. Yeah, he's black. Got it. The issue is that there were many pastors that knew what he was doing. And this I know. And nobody wanted to call him out publicly. So the question is, where do we draw the line here? And what is right and what is... There's a hesitation in the Christian community to call out what's wrong. We got to leave them be because, you know, God's still doing some stuff with them. We don't really know what God is doing. This is garbage when it's dealing with children. And anybody that's hiding behind that and when children are being damaged, you got a one-way ticket to hell as far as I'm concerned. We have to stand up and call these things out, even if the congregations don't want to hear it. But the problem is people are afraid of doing this. They're afraid to somehow, if they call somebody else out, I am assuming that some of this is because people are concerned if they call someone else out, they're stepping into something maybe God's doing. It's bigger than they can see. Wrong is wrong. So how many people did T.D. Jakes affect? He is homosexual. And he has had instances of dealing of raping kids. And that was known in many pastoral circles. So why wasn't it called out? He's a huge influencer. Massive. And yet, here he is. Is it because he was tied to Oprah and others? Is it because the money flow of his church was so significant people were afraid to disrupt it? Is it because they were afraid of retribution because he was tied in with big legal firms and tied in with people like Diddy? I mean, these are the questions that need to be asked, but the question then that it falls down to is really, are we as a people walking in Christ and fearless in the face of a threat of evil, or are we literally cowing down to for fear of the Babylonian structure is somehow greater than God? Hard questions. It takes a real backbone. Are people afraid to stand up and take the body blows? And that's a big question. And what does that say if we're not willing to take the hits and stand up and speak for truth when we're supposed to be fearless under God? This is the time when we have to really start stepping out and start being greater in He than we've ever imagined, because we're on a critical moment of change. Our society right now is on a cusp of incredible change. And it's a change that we cannot even fathom of what they're trying to steer us into. But these people are not dumb. They're taking it step at a time, because going too fast would leave us all astray and we'd be wandering and we'd be revolting. They don't want that. They're already pushing the window on this. They're trying to get the worst part of this out. I don't know who they are that is doing the good work, other than God. And that's an interesting thing. When you run these rabbit holes, and I think we all have at this point in time, we have all run the rabbit holes of the idea of who are the white hats, what's going on. And to understand what's going on, we want to know who's behind it. But the thing is, we continually come up with the same answers. We don't know. So let me offer this. Every time I get down a rabbit hole, I find out that there's a collection of people that I would state as average that have managed to stumble into kind of the right place to do the right thing. There's a lot of good people out here pushing hard, but the greatest of efforts aren't being recognized at a national level. There is evidence that a lot of this kind of clumsy but well-intentioned effort is creating a momentum that is causing this change. I would say that that's probably a lot of God right there. A lot of God to impassion people to go after something. And when it happens enough times, it looks very much like a master plan, like it's all being torn down. But the hand behind all of this is a global event. This isn't just us here. Across the world, these events are percolating up. People are finding the truths, because the truths have always been there. It's just been hard to dig out. And this is all at a critical time when they're trying to steer this economy towards an entirely different direction. Here's a post that came up yesterday, and it's titled, "On the Brink of a Dramatic Change, the Digitalization of Money." The current state of the central bank digital currency projects globally, summarized by Efrat Ingeson, independent journalist and host for You're the Voice podcast. It says, what underpins a world order is always the financial system. We are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having an almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to all of this as well. This revolutionary, as he goes into a speech referenced above, which we can play part of, but was delivered at the World, this revolutionary speech was delivered at the World Bank Government Summit in March 2022 in Dubai by Philippa Pipa Malgren, a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, the CFR, and Chapman House. Her father, Harold Malgren, serves as a senior advisor of U.S. Presidents Kennedy, Nixon, Ford, and others. She's a technology entrepreneur and economist who served as a special assistant to George Bush for economic policy on the National Economic Council and as a former member of President Working Group on Financial Markets. Her words are about the transition to a new world order that requires a new financial structure correspond well with the words of French President Emmanuel Macron in June 2023 at the Global Financial Summit in Paris. Quote, the world needs a public financial shock to fight global warming, and the current system is not suitable for dealing with the world's challenges. So let me just offer an interpretation of what we may be seeing here and why our role towards continuing to pursue truth and a walk with God becomes ever increasingly important. Well, many of these illicit networks like Diddy that are dealing with kids, black market, and power. Remember, children are a core of power and they are the core sense of commodity trade on a global network if you're an elite. That and drugs are the two biggest illegal and illicit networks out there. What's important about that is that they do not show up on normal registries. In this new economy, everything has to become blockchain. And you have to get rid of those economies, those powerful economies that have been working in the black where you can't see them. So on one hand, we're seeing some major good with the exposure of Diddy, with the arrests of others that are involved in various crimes. But the problem we have in all of this is that there is less likelihood that we're going to see true justice and more likelihood that what we're seeing is these economies being destroyed, the money being brought into other folds of the economy, and we're moving into a blockchain where there will be no more secrets. This is a major issue. So a lot of the war, as much as people, I think, want to believe that this is a great new golden age heading into us, the golden age, quote unquote, that we're heading into in this blockchain era does not allow for any privacy, none. So if somebody wants to look at your financial record of your purchase of your house and every single transactional piece that goes along with that back to when you first started saving, even selling lemonade on a lemonade stand on the side of the road, they're going to be able to put together that entire financial picture. For some in this new generation, they don't see that as a problem because they're walking into an era where there is no such thing as privacy. But giving that power to the power of government and the power of corporations is dangerous. More than dangerous, it's tyrannical. Much of what we're seeing in the destruction of these foreign networks, whether the attack on drugs, the attempt, which drugs isn't even being stopped, fentanyl's been flowing across the border. We have the child sex trafficking is the hot button, it seems, or at least it lights people up when it happens, and we look at the key characters that are being removed. The bigger question is, who's gaining when they take this market, when they take their economies off the market or out of play? And who gains are those that are trying to get all economies channeled into this new digital blockchain. So it's a little bit of a caution to get too excited about these great exposures, other than to say that they are symptoms of a much deeper corruption that we have to continue to pursue. And the only way through this always is the same. It's truth, and it's our faith in Jesus, and it's our continued work to enlighten people to that walk in kingdom rather than a walk in the obsessions of the material world. And when we do that and we start to transition ourselves and our thinking as a culture away from that, we start to arrive at a bigger place of understanding a different way of being. I am not one is at all optimistic about a digital economy. And I know that you have heard me speak this here, and I've taken tremendous amount of pushback from people that believe in blockchain and people that believe in crypto. I don't believe in it at all. And the reason I don't believe in it is because of a couple of very critical things. One, I've already mentioned, that all of your transactions are exposed. The other reason I don't believe in it is it doesn't affect a moral shift in our nation. Once we accomplish a moral shift in our nation, we can talk about reform. We can talk about changing and restoring this nation. But we are not dealing with that when we deal with money. Money by itself is a Babylonian system, and all we're heading into is another form of it. And when you watch the rise of various other aspects of this war, and you're seeing truly what we're dealing with, a draining down of the system. You're not seeing any stoppage of the rise of the surveillance state. You're not seeing any impedance to the rise of the military-industrial complex. You're not seeing any of that. You're not seeing more human rights given to us. We're not seeing more rights. In fact, this comment in here that we're going to need a digital human, like a constitution for human rights, is ridiculous, because our constitution covers all things. And yet again, the reason that they're trying to do this is because we're dealing in a corporately owned realm that by our constitution, corporations can redefine the relationship of constitutionality. We have to get rid of some key things to make differences. You have to destroy the corporate structure. It has to go away. It can no longer be where it can continue on indefinitely and be immune to the rules of a nation. You have to get rid of the corruption of the satanic cults totally to the root, and they have to be erased. And you have to defend Christianity and absolutely slay the idea of satanic cult worship. You have to protect children at another level completely. And there has to be a deep moral shift in this nation. And we have to get back to valuing life. We no longer have Roe versus Wade, and yet there has been huge progress made at state levels by the left to enhance the powers of Roe versus Wade, exactly opposite of what should have happened. And as a result, I will almost guarantee you that who Trump chooses as a running mate will be soft on abortion. And it's not because we're going to scream and yell at Trump and say, well, you're doing the wrong thing. I am totally against abortion, but here's my point. He's trying to appeal to a broad mass of people. And as a nation, we haven't done the groundwork to shift abortion back at a state level to get it where it is strong again, anti-abortion rulings. As a nation, we are still accepting that which is deeply satanic. We still are. You're not hearing any ban yet on transgender clinics, and yet that's all part of the Baal worship to mutilate. We are not seeing any ban on abortion clinics because that climate is not there yet. People believe truly in this nation that that is their right. My body, my choice, even though it's okay if they stick a shot in you when they tell you to. So the distortions of our way of thinking are deep, and the systemic change over time is going to take deep work. And the only way to get people there is not through policy, and it's not going to happen through rules, and it's not going to happen through teaching people a better education on the fundamentals. Those help. But we don't need more rules. We need more faith. We don't need more teachings about what is right and wrong, other than we need to teach them through the principles of faith. And we need to get back to those deeper principles in our schools to teach and educate children. And then we're left with a big question. What are we going to do with this generation that has been exposed to all of this, who's been mutilated by all of this? What are we going to do with them? Big questions a nation has to face, especially in a time when you have big breaking news about someone like Diddy. When all of this happens at the same time, when they just happen to release the announcement that the CBDC is going to be out in 12 months. The big shift in all of this has been the financial shift. They need to recalibrate, retool, re-engineer society. They have to re-engineer everything fundamental. They have to break down the understanding of everything that we were to prove to us that the system is broken. We see it. We agree. But we can't go forward without having a fundamental morality change in our nation to get back to valuing life and family. When we do that, then we're onto something. And that ultimately happens by us getting back to the land, us taking back to growing our own food, us getting back to the principles of working for ourselves, doing homeschooling, not public schooling, and home churches to revive that and kindle that principal issue that built this nation. When we put those pieces together as a people, the government really at that point becomes of marginal importance. And we can build local economies and we can build different ways of trade and barter that are there for us to grasp. But unless we start moving this way, we're going to end up in this trap where we're all going to be set to have to deal with a digital world in blockchain that no longer has any secrets. And it's all exposed for anybody to exploit and to use. And I don't see that as a healthy world. I see that as a world that's more easy to exploit and control. But we'll see. Patriots, keep your head up. Actually, let's do our prayer. I almost jumped out of that one. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for today. Just ask for deep reflections as we move into this world and look deeply at things and with the truth in the eyes that you give us. This is a time right now that we have to be vigilant in our approach and vigilant in what we see and not get swept up in the institutions of men and the promises that are false and too often the promises that just lead us to dead ends. We need to find our truth and our faith through Christ. And that is the only way through. And we know that fundamentally. And so, Father, we just ask for this as a time that when we look at stories and we look at events happening, that we always go back to that pivotal place. Where is Jesus in this? And where are we going with Jesus in this? Always the same. These sorts of fundamental aspects are the hardest part of it all. Because it forces us to have to recalibrate in our world to see things through your eyes. And so that is a blessing that we ask that continues to pour upon us, a blessing that we ask that will continue to guide us in all that we do, to lift us and to direct us in all that we are, and to help us reset a nation from a moral root, not just a place of change by rules and regulations or structure, but truly get to the root of what it is, a moral root of having to change a nation and how we relate to one another, and most importantly, how we relate to you. Guide us in this time, Father, and we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Important to keep that anchor and that root in all things, because what we're seeing on one hand in this dazzleness and dazzling change of its technical answers to all things, the only real answer in all things is our relationship in God. And that's what changes and makes the difference. I want to play this short piece here as we kind of wrap things up. This is Denzel Washington, and I think he's got just a really good perspective on something to hear. Take a listen.
I'll say it again. Don't confuse movement with progress, because you can run in place and not get anything done. So are you moving forward, and who are you taking with you? And how you made things better by the God-given talent that you all have in whatever area it may be. To write it, to direct it, to produce it, to cut it, to shoot it. You have a gift. It's called a gift. You didn't earn it. You were born with a gift. Now you hone that gift. You develop that gift. You do everything you need to do to protect it. And then you share it.
There it is. The gift that we're born with has to be lifted up and turned into the gold in which it's intended to be. I mentioned yesterday when I came up on the property, there was a double rainbow sitting right on the property. Literally could see end to end. I don't think I've ever seen that before. And it's one of these things that is so impactive when you see it. You remind yourself of the power of God. As I drove up on the property, that rainbow was not there. As I parked the Jeep and I walked out of the Jeep and I faced the hill, it suddenly was there. It's a powerful moment of reminder of what we're truly here for. God's not going to destroy this as he did before, the promise of Noah. But we have our responsibility in all of this to get the work done, the hard work, the work in the trenches, It is literally a war, but it's a war for the moral souls of people, a war to shift the morality of a nation and to bring people back to the foot of the throne. That war is worthy of fighting at any cost, and it's worthy of any sacrifice needed to get there. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.